Recording live from the Black Lodge, it's me, the free will burning, head turning, ass kicking, machismo dripping, master podcasting mouthpiece of the Southeast, Brandon A. Lane, bringing you a special edition of the Rants from the Black Lodge podcast. The month of March brings to mind many things, ranging from leprechauns and St. Patrick's Day festivities, but to sports fans, this month is hallowed because of March Madness, where Division I college basketball teams duke it out for supremacy. Here at the Rants from the Black Lodge podcast, we may not be so much for sports, but we love our heavy metal. And in 2021, we begin a new tradition in the style that famed NCAA single elimination tournament with a hard rockin' twist. Myself and the Rant Army will album by album, song by song, whittle down the original Black Sabbath catalog to decide which headbanging anthem will reign supreme. Album by album, each panelist will have 2 minutes to argue their pick for the best song, and the tune with the most votes will advance in the tournament. Now, in the event that each panelist picks a different song, there will be an elimination vote, and the two remaining songs will be voted on, with one moving to the next round. This will continue until there is only one song left standing. Each album and song will be designated a random number to correlate with its bracket position to keep the matchups as unbiased as possible. So crank up the volume to 11 and let's go crazy. But first, here's some messages from our sponsors.
Hey assholes, it's me, Boner the Skeleton, mascot of the Rants from the Black Lodge podcast, here to sell you some shit you probably can't afford. Are you low on cash? That's not a problem. Sell your children. Sell your blood. Go to the jack-off clinic and give them a sperm sample. We don't care how you get the money, as long as you give it to us. Want a t-shirt? Want a sticker or a mug to show that you're a true friend and a member of the Rant Army? Well, guess what? Go to Rant Army Surplus. The link is in the description. And if you don't buy something, then fuck you.
Guitar maestro Tony Iommi, legendary bassist Geezer Butler, drumming titan Bill Ward, and the Prince of Darkness himself, Ozzy Osbourne. Singularly, they stand as icons. Together, they become rock gods. Few composers, artists, or bands can boast that they invented a musical genre. However, in 1970, with three demonic notes, the boys from Birmingham, England opened the mouth of hell and gave birth to the greatest form of music known to mankind or otherwise, heavy fucking metal. 50 years later, no band has touched their sacred sonic riffs, the haunting lyrics, or the pounding rhythms. Tonight, we crank the dial to 11 as we pit Sabbath song against Sabbath song, but only one can win heavy metal March Madness. I'm your host, Brandon A. Lane, and I'm ecstatic to introduce our competitors from the Western Division. Sitting high in the number one bracket position, we have 1973's melodic metal masterpiece, Sabbath, Bloody Sabbath. But not to be outdone, we also have the hugely underrated Sabotage from 1975 sitting in the number three bracket. Next from the Western Division is an album that requires no introduction and stands as Black Sabbath's best-selling album of 1970. In the number five bracket position, we have Paranoid. And last, but certainly not least, we have another heavy hitter from 1971, Master of Reality, coming in at the number seven bracket position. Tough competition in the West, and there's bound to be some stiff competition on the field, but let's not forget about the juggernaut that is the Eastern Division, so let's check them out now. The number two bracket of the Eastern Division boasts 1972's Titan of Doom Metal, known as Volume 4, and bringing up its rear is the polarizing final album of the classic lineup, 1978's Never Say Die, holding strong in the number four bracket position. Equally as polarizing, coming in at number six bracket position, we have Technical Ecstasy from 1976, and our final entry into the qualifying round for the Eastern Division of Heavy Metal March Madness is the record that started it all, 1970's debut self-titled hard rock masterpiece known as Black Sabbath. 8 albums, 67 songs, but only one can reign supreme. So, with that in mind, let's get ready to rock! All right, Rant Army, heavy metal March Madness is upon us. Myself, Fat Tony, Fat Fuck Scott, we have all agreed to the rules, and we are willing to draw blood depending on our personal picks for the best Black Sabbath songs, civilly, of course. But first, we are going to get the ball rolling. We need to take a step back and explain what Black Sabbath means to each of us. So, Scott, you want to take us, first of all, what does Black Sabbath mean to you?
They are the core, the heart, the soul, the beginning, the bedrock of metal, the greatest music of all time.
Fat Tony, what does Black Sabbath mean to you?
Black Sabbath is my all-time favorite band, bar none. Seeing them fully reunited, because I saw them in 97 when it was three quarters for a mini set. Seeing them fully reunited in 1999 is still one of my all-time favorite memories. I cried like a girl watching the Beatles on Ed Sullivan. I told my girlfriend at the time not to touch me. There is no other band. If I talk about favorite bands, I always have to say, well, aside from Black Sabbath, you know, because there's none. There's no band to me that touches them.
Uncontested, my all-time favorite band is Black Sabbath. And the dividing rod between you and I is that, I mean, and it's not to take away from the latter aspects of Sabbath, but you are more of a... the core first eight albums and, yes, and 13. The Aussie era Black Sabbath. And I really love the entire catalog. I love Glenn Hughes, my all-time favorite singer. I'm probably the odd man out, but I love Born Again. Shitty production and all.
Terrible production.
Talk a little bit about how you like the latter aspects of Sabbath as well, Scott.
It wasn't until I aged a little bit more and became a little more refined that I started experimenting more with Sabbath, because I did not experience anything past just Ozzy for a long time. Then as I grew, my face grew.
You dipped your toe in like a girl who's bicurious in college.
Exactly.
I want to know what this Ozzy stuff is all about.
And now I'm full on scissoring with the entire roster of Sabbath. Therefore himself, Tony Iommi.
My all-time favorite band, and my love of Sabbath began with the Aussie era, and admittedly, I loved Dio growing up, but there was always this kind of stigma on the Dio era, so I didn't discover that until later on. The first album I ever purchased with my own money was an AC/DC album, but the second album I ever spent money on was Sabbath Bloody Sabbath by Black Sabbath, and that instantly changed the course of my life, and they became my favorite band. What was the first Sabbath album you ever owned, Tony?
The first Sabbath album I ever owned was Paranoid. My brother gave it to me.
Cassette tape or CD?
Cassette.
Oh, yeah.
Old school. It was cassette tape. He gave me that the same day he gave me Ozzy Osbourne Tribute, the live album.
Oh, with Randy Rhoads, good fucking
and that
stuff.
Really, that's what cemented me. And speaking of latter era, Dio era is the only era I will still consider Sabbath. There's good riffs, maybe good songs on the later eras, but it's Ozzy or nothing for me.
I am a vehement defender.
We drink to Dio every day.
We do, but I'm a vehement defender of the Tony Martin era of Sabbath. Really good stuff in those IRS years.
Really freaking hard to get a hold of that stuff, too, isn't it?
Huh. Well, maybe if you bought your music fucking physically, you would
have
that problem.
I tried to. It's really hard to find.
Now, Tony, you have the distinction of being the only one of us who actually got to see the original Sabbath live. Scott and I had an opportunity, but it was literally 2 days after, I don't even what.
We were driving back from North Carolina from some show.
It may have been Glenn Hughes.
You chose a lesser inferior.
We didn't know.
Band.
They announced it as we were driving back.
I bought those Glenn Hughes tickets like 6 months before.
Was that the one where y'all had wine and cheese?
No. That was Uli John Roth.
That was a natural. Thank you.
From the Scorpions. No. But we'd already bought these tickets, and then the concert got moved to a different location and postponed. So at that point, we had fucking backstage passes and sound check. So I'd already went above and beyond. And then we would have had to have driven all the way to the Norfolk Scope, which I've done once before. And that is a shitty drive. And I do regret it. Not getting to see them on the last tour, but work wise, I couldn't.
We were all gung ho for on the drive up there to see Glenn. We might be able to do this. And on the drive back, I was like, I don't think we're going to be able to do this, man.
I remember just for Ozzy, this is just in 2000's Ozfest, we had tickets in fucking Virginia Beach. Super long drive. Got to go drive through Richmond. Nightmare drive. I was up for 40 hours. I couldn't go to sleep. We had a hotel room before. I couldn't go to sleep. I knew tomorrow's Auschwitz. Tomorrow's Auschwitz. We had 10th row center tickets.
Oh, my God.
At an amphitheater. It's huge. And I think up to that point, I'd seen Ozzy like 11 or 12 times live. That was the first time I ever heard Diary of a Madman live. I broke the seat in front of me, like the little seat. I broke it off. I'm like, oh, my God. And just another real quick Black Sabbath story. In 97, when it was the little Black Sabbath mini reunion after a full Ozzy set, so I'm high as a kite on adrenaline, I caught Tony Iommi's guitar pick, and somebody tried to take it from me, and I donkey kicked them. Like, I mean, I would have ended their life had I could have. I ended up giving that pick away to somebody, a close childhood friend of mine from church school. Still regret it.
Well, you know what?
I got to have my first three-way with her, though. She brought a friend, and we had it. So it's worth
listen,
it.
Listen, yeah. That's awesome, but if I ever meet you, anonymous three-way girl, I will punch you in your fucking mouth. How dare you? You are not worthy of that pick. How did you not give it to me?
I didn't know you then. It doesn't fucking matter.
You should have foresaw into the future.
God, you might have been like 7 or 8 when she moved to Atlanta. No, probably a little older than that. Because in 97, I was 16. You'd have been 12. I'm like 4 years older, roughly.
And I was an awesome 12-year-old.
I'm sure you would have been.
I saw AC/DC on the Ball Breaker tour that year, and I saw fucking White Zombie in Johnson City that year. So.
I was there. I saw that one.
Hand, high five on that.
Was that the one Filter opened?
Yeah. My sister took me to that because... she either had the choice of watching me or going to the concert and decided that she would just do both.
There you go. That's my brother took me to my first concert.
Oh, I'd been to concerts prior to that, but nothing good. So
my first concert, I was 5 years old. It was Ozzy Osbourne and Metallica with Cliff Burton. So, yeah.
That is a life-changing experience.
Now, I say it like it's cool. Metallica scared the shit out of me. I didn't know who they were. And all I remember is Ozzy came down to the big voodoo chair. And that's really my whole memory.
Oh, so that would be Ultimate Sin Tour. Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Glam rock Ozzy.
There's some good shit on that.
Oh, there fucking is. Jakey Lee rules, man. But that's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about the original 8 albums of Black Sabbath, and we're going to decide tonight which song from each album is the best, and then we're going to pit them against one another. So without further ado, the original first album from Black Sabbath. Now, the winner of this qualifying round will be assigned bracket number 8. So, Fat Tony, you've been in charge of that. So, released February 13th, 1970 in the United Kingdom and June 1st, 1970 in the United States. It had a number 8 position in the UK and came to number 23 in the United States. So, with very little radio play, this was a juggernaut success for a band that grew up in Birmingham and were dirt fucking poor.
Oh, yeah.
So, instant success right out the fucking gate. Chart positions, a galore. Album status went platinum. One-time platinum. That's 1 million albums sold. And that's absolutely incredible. Regardless of time, but back then, a platinum album really meant something. Yeah. So, on the original Black Sabbath album, we have 8 tracks. 7 originally, and there was a track added later on. Track number 1, Black Sabbath. One of the all-time great songs. A song that changed metal, 3 notes. Number 2, The Wizard. Nice, Lord of the Rings kind of style lyrics, interesting stuff. Behind the Walls of Sleep, based off of H.P. Lovecraft's song, very, very cool. N.I.B., interesting and a song that has transcended its genre. Coming at number 5, we have Evil Woman, which is a cover song from the band Crow. This was actually released as a single, it didn't chart. Obviously, for obvious reasons. This was not a radio song for the 70s. Coming at number 6, we have Sleeping Village. And I will say, I did not pick this. I'm not jumping ahead. But this, as a child, when I say child, I'm talking about like 12, 11 years old. This was the scariest song I had ever heard. Fucking didgeridoos fucking freaked me the fuck out. Number 7 is which is another cover song from the band Ansley Dunbar Retaliation, Warning, and a song that was added into the album, which was originally intended but not originally released, the song Warning. So, with that in mind, We are now going to put 2 minutes up on the clock. All right. I have 2 minutes on the clock, and Fat Tony, I'm going to give you the grounds to make your argument for the number one song, what you think is the best song off of the debut album of Black Sabbath, starting 3, 2, 1, go.
Nativity in Black, one of the greatest fucking metal songs of all time. That's all the time I need. Any other suggestion is wrong.
Wow, that took you 9 seconds.
You don't need a lot of time to speak the truth.
All right, well, I'm going to put 2 minutes up on the clock. Scott, 1, 2, 3, go.
Nativity in Black is my favorite song off the album, but it's not better than the song Black Sabbath by Black Sabbath. The song that started it all, the bedrock riff ripped off of Mars Volta. It's that damn incredible. It started a whole fucking genre, okay? It was played the first time. It was sent so many damn chills on people's spines. They asked them to play it again and again. Okay? It's that damn powerful. It's no matter how many times you hear it from the damn rain at the beginning all the way to the end, you want to hear it again because it just stays with you. It's there in your head all the damn time. That's all I need to say.
Good argument.
But I do love NIB. I'm sorry. Good album. Good song. Sorry.
All right. I'm adding 2 minutes on the clock. And go. My pick for the greatest Black Sabbath song off of Black Sabbath's 1970 album is NIB. Oh. Now, I would task any of you here today or listening at home to name a more iconic song lyric than Ozzy shouting, "Oh yeah!" Now, speaking of iconic, between the quote-unquote basically section of NIB, this may be the most infamous bass riff of all time, not including Queen's Another One Bites Dust or Under Pressure. One of the most incredible bass works. Geezer Butler absolutely shines in his work as a lyricist on NIB. And he's second to none. In defining what makes Black Sabbath song a Black Sabbath song, you have to look no further than NIB because the lyrics are about the devil falling in love with a woman. That eerie yet romantic aspect really shaped the core of what would become black metal later on. So you're starting, I mean, just heavy metal in general, but black metal especially, which always has this kind of romantic aspect to it. The devil, although supernatural, he's humanized in his longing for a woman. So now I have you with me under my power. Our love grows stronger now with every hour. Look into my eyes. You will see who I am. My name is Lucifer. Please take my hand. Oh, yeah. You can't tell me that there is anything better than that on the fucking planet. Now, Ozzy has not quite hit his stride as a singer, but there's a quality in his voice that he delivers these lyrics that makes you feel how desperate the devil is to be loved. That's incredible. Now, strip away the subject matter and the bass, you're left with a guitar riff that you will never get out of your fucking head. In fact, this guitar riff is so fucking iconic, Tony Iommi rips himself off with the song Loner from the 13 album. Damn. Now, riff aside, you can't discount the song's solo, and I'm out of time.
Yeah. Hey, I want to say this real quick. The song Black Sabbath is fucking amazing. It's by Millimeters, the second best on that album.
Remember how I said that before we started recording, like, yeah. I put question marks next to ones?
Yeah.
I didn't choose it not because I was like, well, they're probably going to choose Sabbath, and I don't want to argue because there's
NIB was the hill I died. Before we recorded, I said there's one song I want my God from. That's it.
NIB is my favorite Sabbath song, but I chose Black Sabbath because of the lasting mentality of it.
Oh, yeah. So I just went all personal taste on this. That's why there's one that will not win.
We were supposed to record this a while back, but the more time he gave us to think, the harder this became.
Yeah.
So
fucking weather.
I kept rethinking everything. I apologize. All right. I totally succeed, NIB.
So with that in mind, going into the number 8 bracket position, we have Nativity in Black, NIB. So we're moving on to the qualifying round that will be assigned the bracket position number 5. Released September 18th, 1970, we have Black Sabbath's best-selling album to date, an album that has gone 4 times platinum, Paranoid. It charted position in the UK number 1, which is an incredible feat regardless of where you are on the fucking planet. Number 12 in the United States, which is nothing to fucking shake a stick at. So, Fat Tony, if you'd be so kind, will you read off the 8 songs?
We coming strong out of the gate with War Pigs.
Which mind you, which was named the greatest Black Sabbath song by Rolling Stone in 2013.
Well, I have stuff to say on that. But following up with probably one of their, like, this album has all, this is the, what Poser to, this is their commercial album, but this is a fucking amazing album. We had Paranoid.
Which was released as a single. It charted at number 4 in the UK chart singles. Number 6 on Billboard Hot in number of the 100 in America. So, big time hit.
We have fucking Planet Caravan. One of my favorite songs to get high to back in high school. That and the Pantera cover. Mm-hmm. I made a mixtape of both of them back to back on both sides so I could do it all. God. Then we have the legendary Iron Man. I mean, fuck.
Which was released as a single. It charted at number 52 on the Billboard Hot 100. Rolling Stone ranked it as number 317 on their list of the 500 greatest songs of all time. Now, that's aside, that's pretty important.
Then we have fucking Electric Funeral. Like, again, one of just really typifying their doom sound of them. Another. We have Hand of Doom. Then we have the instrumental break Rat Salad, always fun. Mm-hmm. And then the Hallucinatory Fairies Wear Boots. I did ask him one time to listen to that song. Hey, this would be cool. It honestly, it wasn't. It was a very lo-fi cassette copy.
All right. So I've got 2 minutes up on the clock. When I count to three, Scott, you're going to give us your pick in 3, 2, 1, go.
Electric Funeral. Hands down, that fucking riff is heavy for days. The imagery it paints of, like, nuclear holocaust and shit. Basically, Megadeth breathed their entire career off of writing the same damn song off of that. Oh my god. I love everything about this song and more. There's everything else on that song album is great. It really is. But Electric Funeral to me stands out because of just everything about it. And Ozzy's voice on that soars. It's amazing. That's all I gotta say.
All right. I'll reset the clock. And I will go next in 3, 2, 1, go. All right, my choice is War Pigs. And the reason I have to choose War Pigs is this is the greatest anti-war song of all time, regardless of genre, regardless of band. Now, the band grew up in Birmingham, which is a really impoverished, poor area. So in the 1960s, when the hippie movement was beginning to take shape, they were sort of the dark contrast to the carefree flower power lifestyle. They didn't disagree with the philosophy necessarily of anti-war, but they weren't under the spell of the illusion hippie tactics of, like, changing the world for the better. So they were literally living in urban decay. Like, Birmingham is a fucked up, like, gross area. They had blue collar backgrounds in their songs, and this hippie, like, hippy-dippy bullshit just wasn't accomplishing anything. War Pigs is an anti-war song that that understands, like, the horrors of war. It doesn't stray away from it, and more effectively, it points out the finger at the government and puppets and masters at the top of the food chain. Politicians hide themselves away. They only started the war. Why should they go out to fight? They leave the role for the poor. They will tell you their power minds, making war just for fun, treating people just like pawns in chess, waiting till the judgment day comes. Yeah! Okay, so structurally, the song is near perfect. For what I love about music is, like, this moody intro that builds into, like, the chord and the riff, and it's like, cut your fucking balls in half. The air raid siren at the beginning, this is just amazing stuff. Awesome way to get you in the mood for the song. The song develops, it goes from 100 miles an hour. Tony manages to play in a way that mirrors the air raid siren sonically, so it's like a sort of a mirror kind of thing. The other major components that I can't undersell is Bill Ward's drumming. There's this, like, bombastic moments where the drums actually sound like fucking mortar shells exploding. It's just fucking fantastic. They're 8-minute song. It's you could easily get bored with a song like that of a lesser band, but I'm out of time. All right, I'm gonna reset the clock. Fat Tony,
that's two heavy contenders, man. Oof.
And 3, 2, 1, go.
This is where things get interesting because I just went personal. I went Paranoid.
Oh my god.
It's one of their most iconic songs, but really I can't find an argument with either one of these two guys' choices. Personal taste brought this is the song if I'm in a bad mood, I'm down, I'm sad. This is the pick get you going fucking song. You know, it's like I think this kind of lays it's not thrash, but this lays down the speed, the pacing, thrash. It's just, it's a song you can't hear and not get those chills up your spine. I can't argue against either one of theirs, but oh my fucking God, for me, this was one of the hardest choices of the whole thing, because mm-hmm. this album is fucking stacked. It's just, honestly, again, Paranoid, I Need That Speed, baby.
Oof. Okay, oof. So now because we all have different answers, we're going to go to an elimination vote of our three choices. Scott, based off the three songs, which song do you think should be eliminated?
I am going to say Paranoid, just because it's so damn played on every radio
station. Yeah, I get that. I totally.
That's really the one.
So would that make me the ultimate tiebreaker?
I have to give my.
He has to give his opinion.
Well, just for argument's sake, what do you think is your?
I don't like saying this, but Electric Funeral's like was my second choice. I love War Pigs. It's like fucking nanometers away.
Those songs every mirror fucking each one other of them in a lot of ways.
Like all three of those fucking songs on that album, like. Iron Man. We're not even talking about Iron Man, the most iconic song. This is Sophie's Choice fucking.
Okay,
here.
Well, if I had to pick the least, it would be Paranoid. And the reason I would pick Paranoid as being the least, the reason it would be is simply because it's the song that when we saw Zach Sabbath.
Oh my God.
They didn't fucking play Paranoid. You know why he didn't? Because it's over fucking
decent. The closest he came to like the big was Children of the Grave. Everything else was deep cuts.
All right. So with that in mind, your song has been eliminated.
Totally eliminated.
Now you are tasked with the choice of deciding, is it War
Pigs?
Can we
get like a 30-second argument for me? You do have no time for that.
We got time for it.
30-second argument. I want
to do this.
Between you get 30 seconds, he gets 30 seconds.
All right. I'll put it up. All right. I will argue against Electric Funeral, which is fucking blasphemy. But the reason I'm going to choose War Pigs is because if you were to distill this album down to its essence, what songs are you going to be like playing to bring somebody over to the fucking promised land of heavy metal? It's not going to be Electric Funeral. It's a deep cut. It's something that we all love, but it's not going to open the gates of heavy metal for somebody. All right, Scott.
I totally disagree with what you just said. It's just as heavy. The riffs are just as awesome. The singing is just as awesome. Everything about it is awesome. But chances are, if you've heard Paranoid, you've heard War Pigs. Because it's the two songs they play on the radio incessantly. So for the same reason we eliminate Paranoid, I want to eliminate War Pigs. It's just, it's overplayed. I love Electric Funeral. Pantera covered Electric Funeral. That's how damn good it is. Okay? That's all I got to say.
Okay. Exactly 30 seconds.
This goes against Brandon's argument swayed it. Brandon's argument swayed it. But again, there's no bad songs. We didn't pick any bad songs. But I'm going to have to go War Pigs by default. For a well-argued point.
So, in the number five position, it will be War Pigs. And I have to say, Electric Funeral actually was my second choice. That riff is just fucking...
It was my second choice, too. I didn't even consider... I think Iron Man, as great of a song as it is, and, like, I just want to fucking kill somebody when I hear it live. Just, yes! Again, everybody's heard it.
These first five albums, I'm going to have a hard time.
I mean, it's really fucking hard.
Because all of them are good. It's really hard. I don't want to... It's like punching one of my children in the face, and I got two kids, all right, guys?
All right, listen, I know both Scott's kids. All right. I can make the decision real easy which one it is to punch in the face. Love you, Luna. Fuck you, Cass. All right, moving on to what many consider Black Sabbath's crowning achievement. And I have to say, this is my favorite Black Sabbath album.
First album I bought.
Really?
Master Reality was my first one.
All right, well, I think we're all in agreement. This is
our best album.
This is Sabbath's best album. And personally, I had the hardest time deciding my choice off of this album. The winner of this qualifying round will be assigned the bracket position number 7. This was released July 21st, 1971, that being Master of Reality. It charted number 5 in the UK and number 8 in the United States, so Black Sabbath is still fucking going strong. It went 2x platinum. Big deal. Scott, would you read off the 8 songs on the masterpiece known as Master of Reality?
All right, starting off with number one, Sweet Leaf, The Pot Lover's Dream. After Forever, Embryo. 4, Children of the Grave. 5, Orchid. 6, Lord of This World. 7, Solitude. And 8, Into the Void.
All right, After Forever, which was released as a single, it didn't chart, as did Children of the Grave, and it didn't chart as well. Now, this album is a little more of that doom metal, like what we consider like the classic Black Sabbath sound.
Yeah.
So, with that in mind, Scott, I'm going to put 2 minutes up on the clock in 3, 2, 1, go. What is your choice for best song off Metro?
I'm going to change my mind on the fly. I had Into the Void Circle, but I'm going to change it to Sweet Leaf. I don't know why. Just all of a sudden it struck me. I got to go with Sweet Leaf. Every damn time it starts off with that sound of him sucking and then coughing, no matter how bad of a mood I'm in, I start laughing. And then the riff comes in. And just everything about that song is so damn happy, and is like it's the riff and is going against what the lyrics are, because the riff's heavy, but his mood is light and it's airy and it's about weed. I mean, come on! I'm 31 years old. Legalize it already. They were trying to take this shit back then. It's amazing. Sweetly forever. I'm done.
I'm 31. Fuck you.
All right, old man. All right,
I have 2 minutes on the clock. I'm going to make my argument now in 3, 2, 1, go. My choice is Children of the Grave. Now, I had a hard time coming to a decision of this album. Every song, even the instrumentals, add something to the music. Mass Reality, it cements Black Sabbath as the root of heavy metal, like sprouting the tree, and like all the diverging branches give life to new, all these different genres. But every speed and thrash metal band owes a debt of gratitude to one song, and it's fucking Children of the Grave. Now, going on, Supernaut and other songs, Symptom of the Universe, they can add on. But this was the fucking seed that sprouted the entire fucking genre of speed and thrash metal. That opening riff, it cements it as one of the greatest rock songs ever written. When it kicks into gear, it's like having lightning strike your balls and instantly having, like, it's like, it makes you 1,000% more fertile, and the testosterone coursing through your nuts results in Children of the fucking Grave. The song is like, it's another anti-war song, and it really grows upon repeat listening. Children of tomorrow live in tears that fall today. Will the sun rise up tomorrow, bringing peace in any way? Must the world live in the shadow of atomic fear? Can they win the fight for peace, or will they disappear? Fucking beautiful lyrics. These lyrics were relevant then, they're more relevant now. We're in just a fucking shit show of a world, and I have to say that, like, the early Sabbath albums, they have this like raw quality, but the fucking mixing on Children of the Grave is fucking fantastic. You get this interesting like rhythmic bit just below the surface, and it spent me years of trying to figure out, like, is this a bass or is it drums that, like, it's fucking like tremendous that like a band would not do today. They were in experimental phase and they found themselves in Aussie good stuff, fucking great stuff. hold on, let me reset the clock.
Those damn drums.
Yeah. All right, Fat Tony, in 3, 2, 1, go.
I'm pulling a Scott. I'm pulling a last minute change. Scott, my all-time favorite song of all time is Solitude by Black Sabbath, which is ironic because Ozzy's not even singing it.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to go with Children of the Grave. It is the fucking heaviest monster. It starts out like it's our favorite, but we're also doing the best of the best, Children of the fucking Grave.
I'm even though it doesn't matter, I'm gonna switch to it. The only reason why is when we were talking is because the fucking scene from Brutal Legend when you first get the car to drown down that shit and the damn song starts.
Yes!
Holy fuck! Ah, Jack Black drowned a goddamn giant metal car with Children of the Grave playing, running over zombies and shit. Ah!
All right, fuck so yeah. With that being said, our number 7 bracket position, it will be Children of the Grave. And we're moving on into our 4th on the list. We have Volume 4. Now, the winner of this qualifying round will be assigned the bracket position number 2. It was released September 25th, 1972. It had a number 8 position in the UK on the charts and number 13 in the United States. It went platinum, so Black Sabbath is still in fucking great form. Fat Tony, read us off the top 10 singles from the album.
This is the album where they kind of branch out. I love it. It's probably my second favorite album. We have Wheels of Confusion, Tomorrow's Dream,
which was released as a single. It did not chart.
Changes, FX, Supernaut, Snowblind, Cornucopia, Laguna Sunrise, St. Vitus Dance, and Under the Sun.
All right. This album kind of shifts Sabbath from that raw, doomy sound. There's still some hangover from that, but this is seeing them really...
You know what it is? They switch from the weed to the cocaine. There you go.
Good, excellent point. Excellent point. They were also doing some other hallucinogenic drugs during the time, as evident by the song FX, which is not a bad song, but it's barely there. A song. I got 2 minutes on the fucking go. I'm going to start. 3, 2, 1, go. Snowblind. Now, where Children of the Grave gave birth to a thousand speed metal bands, and that opening riff of Snowblind has been riffed off by so many power metal bands, and with good reason. It's absolutely killer. These opening chords, it's like a scene in Pulp Fiction where they shoot Uma Thurman up with the adrenaline, like, bam, you're alive in the moment. Now, 70s music in general was just like this weird time where, like, you could get things like on the radio that you couldn't get on now. So a song, a pro song about cocaine, was even like taboo back then, with the exception of Cocaine by Eric Clapton. Now, admittedly, I've never done cocaine, but lyrically, Snowblind kind of paints cocaine in a beautiful way that kind of makes me want to do it, which is probably a negative against the song.
Ask Clint Hughes about that.
But my eyes are blind, but I can see the snowflakes glisten on the trees. The sun no longer sets me free. I feel the snowflakes freezing me. That's beautiful lyrics. Now, Volume 4 is often criticized for being kind of just a retread of the same Sabbath stuff that they had done in Mass Reality, but the guitar and the vocal melodies of Snowblind see a band really experimenting and like growing. And oddly enough, the studio version of Snowblind is not my favorite. My favorite version of this song is on Speak of the Devil, or to our friends across the pond, Talk of the Devil, which is this great live album. It's Sabbath songs on steroids that Ozzy did with Brad Gillis after the death, RIP, of the great Randy Rhoads. And the one thing I will say that really cements that version negatively to its studio counterpart is Tommy Aldridge, who is no slouch. He's one of my all-time favorite drummers, but he's doing more of a kind of a banging like John Bonham kind of drum kind of thing. But really, the jazzy kind of drums that are done on the album version are so much better. God, it was close. All right, setting 2 minutes up. 3, 2, 1.
Who's
going? Go, Scott.
I went with Snowblind as well. I mean, to quote Ace Frehley, you know, I would never tell anybody to do cocaine, but I wouldn't tell anybody not to do cocaine. everything he just said, Brandon said, was perfect. I'm sorry. My second was Supernaut, but Snowblind is just, that's a ride, man. You're long for it. Everything's brighter, crystal clear. Everything's prettier. Everything's faster. Sorry. I'm sorry, Tony. I want to hear it.
No. It is not snow. You don't have to set a timer. I picked Wheels of Confusion. That is a mature song that shows they're slow, they're great bridges, they're getting into the heavy. It is the total package. That being said, I've done a lot of cocaine in my life. I have. Try it once, no earlier than junior year of college, somewhere around there. I was not in college when I did this. I was barely 18.
Church school ruins children.
It does so bad. But, you know, I just never got hooked on it. Like, I was able, I actually kept a friend, Shannon.
Shannon Fee?
Yeah. Shannon Fee. Let's put him out in the last name. He was dating.
Shannon Fee does trucks.
He was dating a super hot coke dealer, and he offered me a line of coke, and I said, no thanks, and that made him realize he might be having a problem with it. But then later she robbed him and left, and he stopped. But, you know, it's Snowblind was probably even my third choice, like Supernaut, man. That was my second, but it's all good. Yeah. I have no problem with Snowblind.
I was flip-flopping between the two all day, staring at my list.
It's on there.
All right, and what bracket position is Snowblind in?
Bracket number two.
Number two. All right, moving on to Sabbath Bloody Sabbath. Mm. Now, the winner of this qualifying round will be assigned bracket position number one. And the reason this bracket position was given to it, although these were all given randomly, but I specifically gave the number one bracket position to Sabbath Bloody Sabbath because this is the album that critics cite as Black Sabbath's best album.
They're really wrong.
What?
I would put, personally, I would put this at number two for me. Of the Ozzy Sabbath era, I would give it number two.
You know, it's three or four for me.
And that just shows you how wrong you guys are. But that's fine. That's fine. Listen,
I bothered to put in the effort to see Black Sabbath?
Oh,
multiple times.
Who's also
way older?
You burn me. He's not that
much older.
I'm only 4 years
older than him.
But he's like, how old are you? You're like 4 years older than me. You're like 8 years older than me.
I'm 9 years older than you.
Holy shit. See, I was just trying to give you a little bit more off the top.
Your birthday's like 2 or 3 days before mine.
God, what are you, like barely 30?
Just got pubes last week.
I'm 31.
God. All right. With Sabbath Bloody Sabbath, the winner of this qualifying round will be assigned bracket number one. Now, Sabbath Bloody Sabbath was released December 1st, 1973. It charted number 4 in the United Kingdom and number 11 in the United States. This was the pinnacle of their success. Mm. As far as like the Ozzy era, they were fucking firing on all cylinders. The album has gone platinum. And Sabbath Bloody Sabbath boasts albums, the songs off the album. Sabbath Bloody Sabbath, which was released as a single. It didn't chart. One of their best songs. Been in their stage show for years. Number two, National Acrobat. Another deep cut, but one that is well loved. Number three, Fluff. Interesting song. Very fluttery and kind of different than anything you've heard on a Black Sabbath album. But one that is a nice little, it's almost like a palate cleanser to get you ready for everything going on forward. Number four, the wonderfully jazzy standard, Sabra Kadabra. Mm-hmm. Number five, Killing Yourself to Live, another lyrically masterful work. Number six, Who Are You? And number seven, coming in at number seven, Looking For Today, and rounding out the album, we have Spiral Architect. All right, I'm putting 2 minutes up on the thing, Fat Tony. What is your pick from Sabbath Bloody Sabbath in 3, 2, 1, go?
A National Acrobat is my pick. It has such a groove to it. It's everything I like of like the groovy mid-tempoed. Again, I'm not, we all probably pick different songs, and I'll be hard fucking pressed to argue. Unless you pick Fluff, and then I'm smacking in the mouth. Other than that, it'd be hard. I mean, again, the obvious answer is Sabbath, Bloody Sabbath. I hope that's what y'all pick, so we don't have to have a big tiebreaker. I have to go in my heart, though. Again, back in the day when I was smoking weed in church school, that was one of my jams, man. It just is. And that's the one I'm going to stand firm and go with my heart. Mm. National Acrobat.
Respect him for that.
All right, I'm putting 2 minutes up on the clock, Scott, in 3, 2, 1, go.
My answer's Fluff. It's fluttery. No, I did go with Sabbath Bloody Sabbath. I mean, what if they recorded in a haunted house, they're staying in one, they're fucking with each other. He had writer's block, and one riff came to his head and shattered it, and the rest of the album wrote itself. Sabbath Bloody Sabbath. I mean, you don't need to really say anything else. It's that damn good. It's beautiful. It's melodic. There's like three different riffs in that damn song that are all earth-shattering. They could all have been their own same damn song. That's all I want to say. I hate the time limit because it makes me want to talk really fast. Sorry.
Isn't that also the first song Ozzy wrote the lyrics for?
You might be correct.
I'm almost positive. Like, he wasn't a big lyricist before this.
No.
All right. I've got 2 minutes.
Don't tell me no. I'm 90% certain.
I got 2 minutes up on the clock.
All right.
3, 2, 1. My choice is also Sabbath Bloody Sabbath. There is no other guitarist on the planet who literally oozes riffs like Tony Iommi. He has this way of writing an awesome riff that's so simple, you have to wonder, like, why did no one else come up with this? Now, the genius of these songs is that they hook you with a simple riff, and it sort of detours into these experimental territories, and there's, like, all these different time signatures and shifts and these intervals of heavy and melodic. Sabbath Bloody Sabbath is such a good song that it's fuck, it's literally liked by people who don't even like hard rock. Case in point, my mother, who vehemently hates Black Sabbath, heavy metal, Ozzy, and on down the line, she fucking loves Rod Stewart. She loves this song. And to me, Sabbath Bloody Sabbath is a gateway drug for people to, like, this is what you hear. It's enough to get you in the mood, but it also will, like, kind of open that door to get you ready for more heavy music. Now, on top of, like, the fan praise, Sabbath Bloody Sabbath is the album and the song that caused the most belovement from critics. They were highly influential on progressive music from this album on. Now, I know, like, Rush and, like, Queen kind of, like, set the standard, but as far as, like, metal bands, there was sort of, like, this middle ground where they kind of stayed in that, like, 4-4 tempo, and they didn't really do anything. Sabbath Bloody Sabbath fucking shifts that paradigm. You have albums by bands post that, most of them not good, but it kind of set a standard that, like, you can't live up to the Sabbath standard. It's my favorite song for this album.
Again, I can't argue, and I'm kind of glad y'all picked, but I that's one National Acrobat I just had to go with my gut on and stick to it.
I came so close to picking a National Acrobat. I can't because close to groove, man. Because it's my favorite song.
I was this close album. To Sabbath Cadabra. So I'm glad we didn't do that route.
I came very close. Would anybody, based off the arguments, like to change their...
No. Only thing I really want to say at the end of the Sabbath Bloody Sabbath is Ozzy's voice really started coming to its own on this album in particular.
Oh, I had that in my notes, and I didn't get to it, but...
Like, it was almost like earth-shattering the way he was singing in the
song. I think this is his first truly great vocal performance. Mm-hmm. And this is more invocative of, like, the things he would do going on with his career, becoming a truly great vocalist rather than just a really good heavy metal singer, if that makes any sense. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he has transcendent appeal on this song.
I get it.
So, with that in mind, going into the number one bracket position, we have Sabbath.
Bloody Sabbath.
Also, that album cover.
Maybe holy since shit. I was a Seventh Day, I don't know. We went to school on the Sabbath and Seventh Day. Maybe that's kind of biased me a little bit against it.
You kind of alluded to something that we should probably talk about really quick. Just offhand, like, of the Ozzy era Black Sabbath albums, which do you consider the best cover? Because there's some good ones and there's some bad ones. For me, Sabbath Bloody Sabbath is their best album cover.
I agree. I hate a paranoid song.
Yeah, I mean, you can't argue that.
I like the cover of the Black Sabbath as well. It's fucking eerie as shit.
The story makes that album cover great, more so than it is just a great album cover, I feel. But Sabbath Bloody Sabbath is just a great piece of artwork. I'm blanking on the fucking guy's name. He did the fucking Star Wars. Oh my God, I'm blanking on his fucking name, but he did the artwork.
I've had sex with a woman, so I don't know anything about the artwork of Star Wars. I just had to get my dig in there. It's funny if I actually knew the name, but I don't.
I can't remember his fucking name.
Good album cover. It is probably my favorite.
But he's a world famous.
Really? Not a big Kanye West cover fan?
Looks like a fucking frog. We'll get into that
separately. All right. Our next round, the winner of this qualifying round will be assigned bracket position number 3. 1975 Sabotage. It was released July 28th. It landed number 7 in the UK and number 28 in the United States. Gold status. So you can see the band is starting to slide a little bit in popularity. Now, in 1975, there's a glut of fucking hard rock and metal bands. So rather than being the standard bearer, they're sort of like in the shuffle with everybody else. That being said, I fucking love Sabotage. This was an Ozzy album that I didn't physically own growing up, and I don't know why that is, because if I'm going to be completely honest with you, probably now I'd probably put it number 3 on my list. I've really grown to love this album.
Real quickly, last episode, you're talking about Nightmare 2 in the right mood. In the right mood, it's probably my second favorite album. I've got to be in the mood for the tone and the sound of it, and I fucking love it. other than that, yeah, it's a good album. If I'm not in the mood for it, you know, you throw on my favorite song, the song I'm about to pick, and I'll be like, fuck yeah. Any of the other tracks, be like, oh, fuck yeah.
You got choked up talking about it, man.
I did.
Scott, if you'd be so kind to read off the 8 and technically 9 songs off of
We're including in the tracks.
Sabotage.
Okay, number 1, Hole in the Sky. Number 2, Don't Start Too Late. Number 3, Symptom of the Universe. 4, Megalomania. 5, The Thrill of It All. 5, Super Czar. 7, Am I Going Insane? Radio. 8, The Writ. And 9, The Hidden Track. Blow on a Jug.
Which was just done as a joke. And before we get into this, I just have one comment to make about Am I Going Insane Radio. For years, I thought that because the second Sabbath album I ever bought was the compilation We Sold Ourselves for Rock and Roll, and which is featured on there, and I assumed that this was a radio cut, or, you know, like a radio edit, and then when I got the full album, I was probably almost an adult when I actually owned a physical copy of Sabotage, that I come to realize, like, no, that's just what it's called. Strange world we live in. I don't know the reasoning behind that, but Fat Tony, if you want to start us off in 3, 2, 1, go.
This is another one of those that was really hard for me, and I guess when it's a really hard decision, I pick a song that kind of exposes a little bit of everything. It's not just one song. Megalomania. Megalomania is my favorite song on this album. It builds up. It gets heavy. It gets a little funky. It has everything. It's going to be hard for me to argue any other. Well, there are certain songs I will argue against, but the other obvious choices on here I'll have to back up. But this is just the one when I hear the intro, like if I'm in the mood for it, it just fucking chills down my spine, rock hard boner, and I'm fucking ready to rock. That's all I need.
Beautiful.
Boners. I'm resetting the timer and putting 2 minutes up. Scott, what you got in 3, 2, 1, go.
Symptom of the Universe. I am a huge, huge victim, fan, lover of a riff. And again, this is one of those monster riffs. And I have no idea what the hell this song's about. He's talking about unicorns in space and shit, and returning to his mother's womb, and it is...
It's about drugs.
It is fucking out there, man, as far as you want to go. But that riff holds it all together, and the drums in the back, it just constantly is chugging along. It just makes you... I don't know what the fuck they were on at this point. And I need to know. I need to know, Brandon.
Okay.
You got kids. You don't need to know. You die. You know
what for the record, Symptom of the Universe is not my choice. But what is the song about? It's about everything, man.
Groovy.
All right. I'm putting 2 minutes up on the clock in 3, 2, 1, go. All right. My choice is not going to win. Right off the bat, but this is going to put me in the awesome position of having to choose between your songs, which I'll allow you once I've said my piece to make your pleas, because I know I'm going to lose. But if I could take a couple of minutes to tell you why this song means so much to me, it's an instrumental. It's probably the only one that anybody's going to choose. Superstar, and the reason I choose this song is I know I have an uphill battle. But as a wrestling fan, if I were to ever have a professional wrestling match, this would be my entrance music. And that is actually the best point I can make for this song. Now, for years, post this song, this became Sabbath's entrance music. This is the song that gets you ready to hear the other songs on the fucking concert. That being said, I know I'm in the minority. It's got a beautiful, like, melodic string arrangement that adds a lot of depth to it. I loved, like, the haunting, like, vocal choir. The fucking riff, Shit All You Want on this song, is fucking great. It's one of Iommi's best. And it really, it's that riff that makes me love this song so much. And I know I'm going to get shit for this. Of all the Aussie era Sabbath songs, if a gun to my fucking head and I had to pick one, I'm not fucking lying, this would be my all-time favorite Tony Iommi riff. Maybe not Black Sabbath song, but this is my favorite Tony Iommi riff, because every time I hear this, it fucking makes my skin crawl in all the best ways, and I'm out of time.
You lose.
You know why they play at the beginning? So they can get it out of the fucking way.
I don't hate it.
No. Hold on. All right. I'm gonna throw, you got 30 seconds to tell me why my song. 30 seconds to pitch why your song should be picked. Okay. In 3, 2, 1, go.
I love Symphony of the Universe, but Megalomania has the dark, deep character that is indicative of Black Sabbath. It's not just da-da-da-da, you know. And they're great and heavy, but their true genius is their songs that expand beyond just heavy, galloping riffs. It's the doom, the oppressiveness, the everything. And then it gets a little funky because Ozzy's fucking crazy. You know, you got a whole Spice. You got Tony Iommi's doom. It is a more mature, well-rounded song.
That was 30 seconds on the fucking dot. I kid you not. All right, Scott, in 3, 2, 1, go.
As much as I love everything you just said, it's more like a callback to their older stuff, which is nice, but there's no advance forward. Like I said, the last album, Ozzy's voice was reaching its peak. On this album, he peaked. I'm sorry, his voice on this alone showed you exactly how he's going to sound moving forward, and it was perfect. You don't need anything. You don't need a callback. We're advancing forward. Now, granted, this is probably the last great album they did, but, you know.
That was almost 30 seconds exactly.
I mean, I'm not shitting on your choice. Okay. It was my number two.
I'm in the driver position.
You
get the win.
You tell us who wins.
All right. Based strictly on the arguments, man, this is hard.
They're both great songs.
But I'm going to side with Megalomania simply off of one thing that Scott said, and that you kind of laid a claim that this is them kind of laying on, like, doing stuff they had done before. I completely disagree with you on Megalomania.
Yeah, I did. I wanted to say something when you said that.
It's a lot of callbacks to that. The doom on the heavier sides and then them going off
it's
riff.
It's the doom, but they also have that little funkiness to
and
it.
And they did a lot of that. They went off the jazz and the funk in the original, too. What do you think Red Solid is? Jazz funk.
It's a good drum instrument. Anyway.
Teddy bottle full of funk. Yeah, so I think my pick will be for Megalomania. So that will put Megalomania in the number 3 bracket position.
This is awesome, stiff competition,
this
man.
This is the last good album after this.
All right, we got 2 albums left, and the winner of this next qualifying round will be assigned bracket position number 6. Technical Ecstasy, which was released September 25th, 1976. It had a chart position in the United Kingdom at number 13 and number 51 in the United States. It still went gold. Huge drop off from the previous album. Scott, would you read us off?
No, I'm going to read it, and then you're going to read Never Say Die.
Yeah, okay, I have no dog in this hunt.
Me and Brandon have a debate on which is the worst album. Never Say Die. I hate Technical Ecstasy comparatively. Still some great solid shit. We have number 1, Backstreet Kid, who then became a Backstreet Boy.
Bullshit. I will hit you. I will hit you.
I deserve that. I apologize. You won't change me. It's all right. Gypsy.
For the record, It's All Right is the name of a song, not a comment on the quality
right.
of you.
Track
changing.
Number 4.
No. It's All Right was released as a single. It did not chart.
Because it's all right.
It's all right.
Track number 4, Gypsy.
Which was also released as a single and it did not chart.
Track number 5, All Moving Parts Stand Still. Track number 6, Rock and Roll Doctor. Track number 7, She's Gone. And track number 8, Dirty Women.
Okay, I'm going to go up first.
Fair enough.
In 3, 2, 1, go. My choice is All Moving Parts Stand Still. Now, I will 100% from here until eternity, my last breath leaves my fucking body, that Technical Ecstasy is an overall better album than Never Say Die, but I will save that argument for another time. However, I will concede that both albums are severely underrated, and there may be a 2-3 kind of consensus against that or for that assertion, but if you have a gun to my head and you said pick one from either this album or the album that comes after it, this is the song I'm going to pick. And I know I'm going to be fighting an uphill battle, but the song is All Moving Parts Stand Still. Now, what is this song about? Two robots fucking on a staircase? I don't fucking know. I don't care. This song is just awesome. So, since he has passed the motion, they're building in the ocean, and he's saying all men should be free. What a combination, peace and radiation. And he's saying men should fight for me. I don't know what that fucking means, but it's got a good cadence to it. As abstract as the lyrics are, Ozzy manages to make you feel like every word he has to say is fucking important. He's got to that point where he's becoming a truly great musician in the vocal range. The guitar riff is like a hot knife through butter, and it bounces off something. It's almost like the bass is like something that Bootsy Collins would have performed in Parliament. And that's fucking awesome. I don't care what you fucking say. I dig the fuck out of it. In stark contrast to his normal jazzy style, the drums on this album are actually a little more of like a contemporary fucking like straight ahead kind of rock song. And, fuck, and then it's like Rihanna getting beat by Chris Brown. It's fucking hardcore, man.
Damn. I gotta applaud that last finale. That was a good metaphor, man.
All right, 2 minutes on the clock. Scott, you're up. What is your favorite song off of Technical Ecstasy? In 3, 2, 1, go.
Rock and Roll Doctor. It's literally the only song on this entire freaking album that I can stand. I'm not a big fan of this one or the next album, as I've said. It's the only song that also will be on my Spotify from these two albums. I just cannot. It's them getting away from Sabbath and more like drugs were taking over the band at this point, and you can hear it. Not in a good way either. The dragon has been caught at this point. Not chased.
Okay, I'm putting 2 minutes up on the clock. Fat Tony, what is your favorite song of Technical Ecstasy? In 3, 2, 1, go.
I'm changing my answer on the fly because nothing on this album is worth arguing about. So All Moving Parts Stand Still was my number two. It's a close number yes! two. Like, honestly, I mean, I don't hate this album. It's just like a contemporary 70s rock album. Yeah. My actual favorite song was Dirty Women, but I didn't want to get into the debate because they're all, I mean, there's nothing bad on this album, but there is nothing that says Sabbath. There is nothing. Dirty Women's the closest says Sabbath. And that really, to me, it's more the few. Anyway, I really do like All Moving Parts Stand Still. I get it. It was my close number two.
Hey, you two have been best friends longer than I've known you, so I'm going to lose every one of these.
No.
But
no, the next album is where we're going to diverge. The next album,
there will be.
You said it in the way, like, I can never figure out why I don't like these two albums. And it's
not Sabbath.
It just sounds like everybody else at that time. They started losing themselves and just went on with, what's going to be our next hit? We need another hit.
You get to read the track list.
Okay, okay. Before we move from Technical Ecstasy to Never Say Die, I want to say that you're absolutely right. This was a band that was trying to be capture like what's going on at the time, and rather than being ahead of the pack, they're running behind. Mm-hmm. And I will say this, contrast to your position on this, I fucking hated Technical Ecstasy and Never Say Die growing up. I didn't own physical copies of them. In fact, the last three Sabbath albums I just didn't own growing up because I had this like bias towards them. But I have to say, after years of like being buried under like the plethora of like the entire Sabbath catalog, I mean, I've got bootlegs and demos out the fucking ass. Mm-hmm. I find more enjoyment every once in a while
from
revisiting these two albums, so, because they still sound fresh. They're different.
This is the Sabbath Dynasty album.
But man, you just knocked the fucking nail on the
every
head.
Every once in a while, I just gotta just listen to it.
Every once in a while, you wanna put on some spandex pants and just feel how sexy you are.
I agree.
All right. So with that being said, All Moving Parts Stand Still, we'll move to the number 6 bracket position, which leads us to our final option in the qualifying round. We have Never Say Die, which was released September 28th, 1978. This will go into the number 4 bracket position, the winner of this little discussion we're about to endure. And I say endure because this album is not very good. Number 12, it landed in the UK. So they still have some goodwill with the United Kingdom. However, in the United States, number 69, they're still...
Nice.
They're charting, and this album still went gold. But I want to say something that's actually going to help your cause more than it'll help my cause. Two of these singles actually fucking charted, whereas several of albums that are way better, they didn't. Number one, Never Say Die, was released as a single. It charted number 21 in the UK singles charts. Number two, Johnny Blade, a nice, kind of interesting, almost new wave kind of song. And then it kind of diverges into that really crunchy riff, good stuff. Junior's Eyes, standout song from the album, from a vocal performance by Ozzy, just good stuff from a lyrical front. Hard Road, which was also released as a single, it charted number 3 on the UK charts. So there's almost a point to be made, like Sabbath may could have kind of changed course with this album and got back in the good graces. I don't know why I'm making a fucking argument for yourself. I feel bad
for shitting on the last episode.
Number 5, Shockwave. Number 6, Air Dance. Number 7, Over to You. Number 8, Breakout. And number 9, Swinging the Chain, which is my vote for the absolute worst Black Sabbath song.
I will agree of
the Ozzy era.
I will agree with you.
All right. 2 minutes up on the clock. Who wants to go
first? I want to go first and get out of the way. It's going to be real easy.
It's going to be easy. You can go, like, he got to go first on Technical Ecstasy.
Okay, you go ahead.
All right. And 3, 2, 1, go.
Never Say Die had all the fucking energy in the world. It's a get up and go song when you're fucking don't want to do shit. You're sick. You're tired. You're bored. You're sad. Now, it's not even my favorite song. Junior's Eyes, After My Dad Died, is obviously my favorite song. I'd listen to that and cry and drink after my father passed. But Never Say Die is one of the all-time... It's like if I had an up-tempo, so it'd be this and Saving the Day from the Ghostbusters soundtrack, back to back. Can just get me going. And I'm not even lying. I hear that song, I don't care how cheesy it is. I'm fucking ready to go. I'm done.
All right. I'm going to go second, just because I want to get this shit out of the way. All right. In 3, 2, 1, go. All right, my choice is Junior's Eyes. The only valid criticism towards Ozzy's last two albums during his first stint is that they just don't sound like Sabbath albums. And in songs like Swingin' the Chain, which is just a completely fucking different band, but songs that work, albeit differently, and chief among them is Junior's Eyes. I'm not going to go into deep-seated issues I have with my biological father, but this song hits me really fucking hard. And the lyrics are about a father having to leave his child and the pain of, like, causing him. They're coming home again tomorrow. I'm sorry it won't be for long with all the pain of what you live within. I try my hardest not to cry when it's time to say goodbye. Without going into, like, a detailed backstory about, like, how bad of a father Ozzy was back in those days, but he really was. Ozzy's always been vocally, like, regrettable about the way he was never around for his kids, and they were, like, growing up, and he was out banging sluts and, like, doing coke and stuff. Awesome for you, Ozzy, but, you know, you could have been there for your fucking kids. The chorus, you know, I read you, it's better than anything on the entire album. And I know that, like, the arguments against a lot of these songs are valid, but there's nothing you can say to me that will change my mind that this is not only the best thing on this album, but it's one of the best things that Ozzy has ever done vocally, because this is a heartfelt song. This is him singing his heart out. And aside from this, like, emotional angle, there's also a lot of creative guitar works. The solo obviously has kind of this, it's almost like a precursor to the stuff that K.K. Downing did on the early Sabbath albums. There's also some Jimi Hendrix-esque kind of stuff.
K.K. Downing played for Sabbath?
You know what I mean?
Damn, I missed that era. Yeah. What a great tour.
All right. Put 2 minutes up. 3, 2, 1, go. Scott.
After everything you just said, I want to switch my answer, but I am going to stick with Never Say Die because it's really the only song on that album to me is listenable. Now, after hearing y'all's two arguments, I do want to go back and listen to these albums again, because maybe as a more learned fellow,
Junior's I might appreciate Eyes them. Is legit a great song, but I don't, can't listen to it and not cry.
I cry over everything. Ask him. I cry over everything. So yeah, I don't wanna,
Scott's a real bitch.
I purposely, fuck you. I purposely try to avoid stuff like that.
He sees a picture of a puppy and he fucking cries.
I do.
I get a boner.
Too cute? Oh, yeah. I was talking about his boner, not the puppies.
What breed of dog gives you a boner?
A pug.
It's the wheezing, isn't it?
Hey, we're like stepping on your time.
Sir, I don't need any time, I told you. Know,
I've already been outvoted. So.
Never say die.
It may change after listening to Junior's Eyes, but I really
almost
don't give
wanted
right
to
now.
Change mine after
yeah,
this. Because it is, about? Honestly, it's my favorite song, but I can't really listen to it. It gets a little too much for me.
Yeah.
Listen, I will concede that fucking Never Say Die is a genuinely good song, and the day that you and I finally duke it out on which album is better, I look forward to throwing things in your face, because it's going to be bad.
You just made my argument for me. You're all like sucking Never Say Die. I shit all over Technical Access.
You did too. I can't wait to listen back to this.
I felt guilty.
Like, this album sucks the biggest of cocks. Like, Brandon's like, well, it has a lot of good points on this album.
Yeah, I mean, he already
he won the vote
argument for me. You know, and as the biggest and truest Sabbath fan you'll ever meet, that, you know, my opinion is the correct one and can only be, you know, I've touched two original Black Sabbath members' hands. I've shaken hands with Ozzy Osbourne after an Ozzy show, and I've got to randomly shake hands with Geezer Butler, who nobody recognized walking right by the fence in 99.
No, he didn't.
Yes, I do. I'd have sucked his dick through the chain link if he would. Right in front of God and everybody. There's like,
well, because you didn't, it means you're not a real fan.
I know.
What's funny is nobody else recognizes him like this.
That's sad. This is the height of new metal. He's wearing like a little, you know, he's not like all black. He's wearing shorts and t-shirts. Got a thing. I locked on, and he saw me, and he just resignedly was like, "Hey, mate, how you doing?" And shook my hand and went on.
Did he want to suck my dick?
I wanted to go to the bathroom and immediately masturbate. Well, no, after
with
he walked
that
off,
hand.
The hand I touched his hand with, I wanted to masturbate with, but then I realized that hand's touched his hand. It's not worthy of touching my dick.
And he went to the bathroom, and George Michael's happened to be in there.
And then I just came. Anyway.
With all that being said,
back on
in
track.
Our Western division, coming in at bracket position number one from Sabbath Bloody Sabbath, we have the title track, Sabbath Bloody Sabbath. Coming in at the number three position in our Western division, we have from Sabotage, Megalomania. Coming in at the number five bracket position from Paranoid, we have the anti-war anthem, War Pigs. And coming in, last but certainly not least, in our seventh bracket position in our Western division, we have the anthem of all anthems, Children of the Grave. Now, we're going to be coming back after some messages from our sponsors to argue which of these songs progresses to the next level. Stay tuned.
Blake Best here. I just wanted to take a moment and talk with you about my brand new novel, Fathom, which centers around the Loch Ness Monster. So if you're a fan of a good creature novel and want something quite scary and thrilling to read, stop by my website and order a copy of Fathom. My website is www.blakebesthorror.wixsite.com/blakebesthorror/books. Let me tell you a little bit about Fathom. Jack Warner is a cryptozoologist and the famed writer of Keeper of the Loch, a book on the elusive Loch Ness Monster. He is offered a job by millionaire paranormal investigator Chris McDonald to be a part of an expedition that is touted as the definitive search for the monster. Jack finds himself on the shores of the legendary lake, but will he be ready for what lies below the surface of Loch Ness? Stop by my website and order yourself a copy of Fathom, and then you'll have the answer for yourself. My website is www.blakebesthorror.wixsite.com/blakebesthorror/books. Fathom has an official release date of February 21st, 2021, but you can pre-order your copy now. Thank you so much for listening, and back to Rants from the Black Lodge podcast.
Army. Welcome back. It's down to 8 songs, but only 4 can advance to our semifinals. In our Western division, in bracket number 1, we have Sabbath, Bloody Sabbath. In the bracket number 3 position, we have from Sabotage, Megalomania. Coming in at number 5 position, we have War Pigs from the 1970 classic Paranoid. And coming in from Master of Reality, number 7 bracket position, we have Children of the Grave. Not to be outdone, we have our Eastern Division. Coming in at the number 2 bracket position, we have Snowblind from Volume 4. Coming in at number 4 position, we have Never Say Die from Never Say Die. And from Technical Ecstasy, we have All Moving Parts Stand Still, Standing Tall in the number 6 position. And coming in at the number 8 position, we have NIB from the debut album that started it all, Black Sabbath. So our first matchup will have, from our Western Division, Sabbath Bloody Sabbath versus Megalomania. And I'm going to have Fat Tony start this out with 2 minutes on the clock. What is your choice between Sabbath Bloody Sabbath and Megalomania? 3, 2, 1, go.
I hate to do this because it wasn't my choice, but Sabbath, Bloody Sabbath, in comparison to Megalomania, it's more iconic. The vocals, the range of the song, again, Megalomania is a good, doomy, still kind of funky song, but Sabbath fucking Bloody Sabbath, it's one of their heavy hitters. I mean, it's hard to vote against it with a song like Megalomania, which is more of a deep cut.
All right, fair enough. All right, coming in with 2 minutes, Scott. 3, 2, 1, go.
I won't need 2 minutes. I have Sabbath Bloody Sabbath is like one of my top 3 Ozzy songs, or saddest songs of all time, or even with Ozzy, probably. Love Megalomania. Great song. A lot going for it. But Sabbath Bloody Sabbath, again, is like 5 songs in one, and every single one of them are heavy, is a great song in itself. So Sabbath Bloody Sabbath, hands down.
All right, I got 2 minutes on the clock. Not that it's going to be fucking necessary. 3, 2, 1. Sabbath, Bloody Sabbath is one of the greatest songs of Black Sabbath's catalog. There's a lot more going on there from production to vocals, drums, guitar, across the board. I love Megalomania and Gun to My Head. Like, if I just wanted to hear a song for the hearing a song, it might be Megalomania. But as far as, like, important Black Sabbath songs, ones that are going to stand the test of time, it's got to be Sabbath, Bloody Sabbath. So, coming in at the bracket position, winning our division round, we have Sabbath, Bloody Sabbath progressing. All right. Our next, coming in, our first matchup from the Eastern Division, we're going to have Snowblind versus Never Say Die. And with 2 minutes on the clock, I'm going to start out. 3, 2, 1, go. All right, this is a hard choice. Both of these songs are fucking great. There's no denying that these are songs that have been and will stay in the heavy rotation of the Sabbath catalog. But I'm going to go with Snowblind. The riff is more iconic. The vocal line of Ozzy screaming cocaine live is more iconic than anything in Never Say Die. Never Say Die is a great song, but it's one that, like, to be honest with you, if they eliminated it from the fucking set list, I wouldn't miss it. But if they didn't play Snowblind, I might be kind of unhappy. And it's a song that is going to change people's minds about the band. It's a song that if you put it on and you said, well, I don't have a misconception about Black Sabbath, okay, well, check this fucking song out. Let it nail your fucking balls to the fucking ground with that sonic riff and Ozzy screaming cocaine just can't be fucking beat. All right.
Wow. All
right, with 2 minutes on the clock, 3, 2, 1, go.
Okay, I'm going to go Snowblind. I mean, again, it wasn't my pick, but you stack it up against Never Say Die, which, again, I said I love. It's a good get-up-and-go song, motivating. Snowblind fucking just hammers it into the fucking ground. I mean, and, you know, as the only one here who has done cocaine, you know, I've got to say... Oh, allegedly? No,
allegedly.
I'll just say it. I've done it. No, it's it. Besides cocaine, I can, you know, it's just a great fucking song, man. Snowblind.
All right, well,
nothing matters.
Not that. Well, let's see. 2 minutes on the clock. 3, 2, 1, go. Let's see how well your argument. To see if it can sway either one of us.
There's not gonna be a damn argument. I voted for Snow White to begin with.
Oh, there you go.
Okay. There you go. I'm sorry, like Never Say Die is just way too overproduced for my liking to begin with. Snowball still had a rawness
fucking
to
hipster.
It was fuck you. Well, I'm still my favorite band. Talking about production quality. Oh god. It is damn overproduced. It's like
it's like those fucking we'll talk about the later. People in the 90s. I don't like Nirvana's Nevermind. It's too overproduced. It's the best
Nirvana album. Sucks.
Huh?
Nirvana sucks.
I won't argue. I agree. I don't hate them, but like Soundgarden, no, I don't like Super Unknown. It's too produced.
No, Alice in Chains.
Alice in Chains. We said that last.
Fucking episode. Fucking fantastic.
Best grunge band ever.
I don't even consider them a grunge band. They're too fucking good to be a grunge band. And not to get on a but if Kurt Cobain had been as good a guitar player as he was a shot, then maybe I would have been. But no. I don't regret what I just said, and I'm not drunk anymore.
I'm not either.
Oh, yeah, we drank.
Oh, man. So, I think it's a unanimous. Yeah. Snowblind is progressing in our next bracket. All right, back over to the West. Now, this is going to be one that is going to be a hard hitter.
What's this one?
War Pigs from Paranoid versus Children of the Grave.
No!
From the... awesome Master of Reality.
Can
right.
just take a minute? I need to breathe.
All right, well, I'll give you a chance to breathe, but going up first, we'll lay this on Fat Tony.
Oh.
And hold on, let me get my 3, 2, 1, go.
I'm going Children of the Grave. This is such a hard choice. This literally is like, you know, picking your favorite amongst your kids. War Pigs, iconic, great war protest song. Children of the Grave, also at the same token, a great protest of war, nuclear, you know, powers, but the fucking just brutal, like this is the song, this is the song that made heavy metal, heavy metal. This is it, Children of the Grave.
All right, Scott, I'm going to put 2 minutes up on the clock in 3, 2, 1, go.
I gotta go with my heart. I'm gonna choose War Pigs for one simple reason. Before my son could talk, at the very end of that song, his little chant part or whatever, Cass would sing that part. And before he could say a word, him being able to sing with Ozzy was incredible to me. And that sticks in my head. So for that alone, and the fact that like I can't choose these two, this is probably the hardest one out of this entire game right now. But I'm choosing War Pigs because of that one memory. It's pure.
All right, with 2 minutes on the clock. 3, 2, 1, go. All right. My argument, and then this is fucking hard, because I would bend over backwards for either one of these songs. And I have to say, one of my greatest memories ever was seeing War Pigs, Zach Sabbath, with fucking Zach coming through the crowd, like right in fucking front of me, just like fucking noodling on the thing. But I'm going to have to choose Children of the Grave for one reason. In War Pigs, Ozzy rhymes fucking masses with masses. And for if no other sin, that disqualifies this from progressing into the next round. So with that in mind, I have to choose Children of the Grave.
I have to say, Brandon also at that concert was really tempted to hit Zach Wilde just for no reason, just because he was so close.
It was, I couldn't help it. It was just like this, it was the devil inside me, like, do it, you'll be infamous. He would have fucking killed me, by the way.
He would have destroyed you.
He would have fucking destroyed me, but it would have been like the situation, like I had a chance to meet fucking Gary Busey several years ago, and I didn't because for a chain of events he didn't end up appearing, but I had this idea in my head. It's like, oh my god, I'm going to get him to autograph, or I'm going to get him to attempt to autograph a Nick Nolte picture, because I'm going to become fucking internet famous, because he will beat the fuck out of me. I will literally rip out your endocrine system. So with that in mind, does anybody want to change their pick based off of arguments for War Pigs versus Children of the Grave?
Consensus wins, so you guys win.
I mean, I get your memory. Your memory's super sweet. I totally go with it. It's like...
If I've said it once, I'll say it 1,000 times. Fuck you, Cass. Little piece of shit. I miss the dog. I loved him way more. How Luna's awesome.
Child? Cass, listen to this.
How old is this child?
He's Cass speaking? Is 7.
You bastard.
I love you, Cass. You know I fucking love you. You little shithead.
You taught them both how to walk.
I did, because I'm a better parent than you
Apparently.
Are.
Apparently. He is. I kept him alive. He taught me new stuff.
All right. I don't know how necessary this argument is going to be.
This is the easiest one there is.
Coming in from Technical Ecstasy, we have All Moving Parts Stand Still versus the heavy hitter from 1970, the debut album, N.I.B., starting us out, Scott, what is your pick? 2 minutes on the clock. Again, 3, 2, 1, go.
Time Stand Still by Rush is a great song. I love to keep... Oh, sorry. NIB, this is... There's no reason to even go over this. This is just time filler. Okay, there we go. Boom.
All right, resetting the clock. 2 minutes, 3, 2, 1, go. It's fucking NIB. I can't argue that the first Black Sabbath album is worse than the 7th one. There's no one who would make that argument. NIB to me encompasses everything that is great about Black Sabbath. And I won't talk shit about All Moving Parts Stand Still. I think it's a truly great song, but it's not NIB. Every facet, you strip, if you were to take and put NIB in the mixing board and you were to take the drums out, it's still a top five song. Take the vocals out, still a top five song. And on down the line, you can destruct that song and just the pure components of it outweigh a lot of other great songs in anybody's catalog. So that's my pick, NIB for the win.
That was the prettiest thing I've ever heard him say.
Well, thank you. 2 minutes on the clock. 3, 2, 1, go, Tony.
I love Brandon being a slave to his format. There's no need for it. It's NIB. NIB made fucking heavy metal. Black Sabbath, the original album, made fucking heavy metal. It is iconic. It is just, it's sexy. All Moving Parts Stand Still is barely a Black Sabbath song. That's when they're so far away from the roots, so fucked up with drugs and success in the business that, you know, it's a song. I don't hate it. It's a good song, but, like, it's
better than anything Bachman Turner Overdrive ever did.
Oh, yes.
You watch your whore mouth.
I mean, the worst Black Sabbath song is better than most band's best song, but yeah, NIB.
All right, the votes have it. Progressing into our next round, we have... From Sabbath Bloody Sabbath, we have Sabbath Bloody Sabbath going up against another incredible heavy hitter from 1971, Children of the Grave from Mass Reality. Oh. And in our Eastern Division, we have from Volume 4, Snowblind going against NIB from 1970. Oh my God, guys, things are getting real. And in the midst of this bloody heavy metal war, only 4 are left standing as we move into our semifinals of Heavy Metal March Madness. But first, here's some messages from our sponsors.
I'm sweating.
Come on down to Mass by Lance, premium Friday the 13th custom-made hockey mask down there in Tennessee by Lance McKinney. Find him on Facebook and Instagram over at Mass by Lance. Go order one now, boy. Yee-hoo!
All right, welcome back, headbangers. It's down to the top 4, but only 2 can advance to the finals of Heavy Metal March Madness. From our Eastern Division, we have Sabbath, Bloody Sabbath, going up against the Titan from Master Reality, 1971's Children of the Grave. And in our Western Division, we have from Volume 4, Snowblind, going up against the Anthem from the original debut album, 1970's NIB. With that in mind, we're going to start with our Western Division, Snowblind versus NIB. 2 minutes on the clock. Fat Tony, you have the unfortunate task of picking between 2 of the greatest Black Sabbath songs ever in 3, 2, 1, go.
I mean, this feels like kicking puppies, but it's no contest. NIB. You think Black Sabbath. You think you don't think Snowblind. You don't think, a funky little rock number about cocaine. You think evil. You think the devil. You think that fucking bass line. You don't think... That's Super Nine.
You're still correct. You don't think that.
You don't think anything. I mean, you think fucking Nativity in Black. Snowblind is a great metal song. It's a great Sabbath song. But it doesn't bleed and ooze just doom and awesomeness like NIB. It's a neutered song comparatively.
Okay. I'm resetting the clock. I'm attempting to. All right. Snowblind versus NIB. I'm going to go up next in 3, 2, 1, go. There's great Black Sabbath songs, and then there's the Black Sabbath song. And as much as this absolutely pains me, because Snowblind is among my favorite, not just Sabbath songs, but my favorite songs of any musical genre. It's one of the first songs I ever learned how to play on guitar back when I was a wee baby, back in, in 1995, 1996. But tasked with deciding the best Black Sabbath song between these two, NIB wins out simply on the fact that it encapsulates everything the band fucking stands for. It's romantic, it's dark, it's gloomy, it's evil without embracing evil. It's a warning with still flirting with the darkness. It's every possible positive thing you could say about heavy metal, because it bucks the trend while also embracing it. Because the satanic panic movement of the 80s, and you had bands like Venom and Merciful Fate, which I fucking love, you King Diamond, who just embraced the demonic full bore. But Black Sabbath, they presented it, but they never fucking, were like, oh yeah, we worship the devil, blah, 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 666. They flirted with the devil, but they never fully embraced it. And that ambiguity gives them enough to where modern America of the time and modern America and all around the world could embrace this as a great song rather than just a great heavy metal song. Scott, I'm putting 2 minutes up on the clock. Snowblind, NIB, what's your choice in 3, 2, 1, go?
I feel really bad because if Snowblind would have went against basically anything else, it might have stood a chance up to this point. But as a bass player, one of the first riffs other than like Peace Sells I really wanted to learn was da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Oh, yeah!
It's just... That bass solo at the beginning that he whips out, it is quintessential. It's the song that made me want to pick up and play a bass. Okay, so I love you, Snowblind, but you out.
I think that's pretty definitive. Progressing from our Western Division, we have a champion of our semifinals moving into the finals from 1970. NIB. So this leaves us with the awful task of deciding our Eastern Division Sabbath Bloody Sabbath against Children of the Grave. And I will start us out in 3, 2, 1, go. Fuck.
I'm so glad you went first.
I'm gonna have to say Children of the Grave. By fucking cunt hair, simply because my day job, I work in a haunted house, and there's on the rarest of occasion that I get to play like contemporary music that is not, fucking Midnight Syndicate, like, orchestral, moody kind of stuff during our October shows. And every chance I have ever gotten, I've ever been given to create a playlist for our outside to get people fucking hyped to come in our haunted house, it's been Children of the Grave without reservation every time I have done it. And that's not been conscious. That's inborn on my fucking DNA that it just has to be. It's a song that puts you in the mood, and yet again, it flirts with the fucking, you know, the demonic and the symbolism you can take in a lot of different directions. It's got that great anti-war message, but if you took it at just face value, this is a song about fucking kids being irradiated from nuclear war. What is more metal than children being irradiated from nuclear war? Scott, put yourself in the headspace of your children being irradiated from nuclear war. It fucking rules. The guitar solo, the fucking intro, the bass line, the drums, that weird percussive thing, every single possible facet of Children of the Grave is amazing, and it is my pick. All right, Tony, with 2 minutes, Sabbath, Bloody Sabbath, Children of the Grave, what's your choice in 3, 2, 1, go.
This was an easy choice for me. It's Children of the Grave. Sabbath, Bloody Sabbath's a great song. But, you know, it has that nobody, you know, the easy parts. Children of the Grave, I think, lays the foundations for a lot of thrash metal and chunky, just old school metal. It just is my favorite subgenre of metal. It's the granddaddy of it. It's fucking just, it kicks your ass. It builds, it kicks your ass, it says, fuck you, and it leaves. It is fucking amazing. Sabbath, Bloody Sabbath, it's not fighting in its weight class. It can't go up against the heavyweight that is Children of the Grave.
All right, the champion of our Eastern Division has been decided. It's 1971's Master of Reality juggernaut known as Children of the Grave.
I didn't have to say anything. Yes!
I mean, you want to pick Sabbath, Bloody Sabbath, and get smacked? The only thing
I was going to say is how I kept alluding to that Sabbath, Bloody Sabbath is like several songs in one. Well, Children of the Grave is that one perfect song.
Yeah.
Because Sabbath, Bloody Sabbath has a lot of riffs, and there's a good story behind it and stuff, but Children of the Grave is just that damn song is solid. It's perfect.
And
you don't need to worry about the riff. Or the drums, there's nothing you can change about it to make it better, because you can't make it better.
There is no argument that either one of you could make that would change my vote.
I love both the songs, but yeah, definitely, it's, like you said, it's fighting in a weight class. It's, yeah.
All right, guys.
No.
Coming up in our main event, we pit two titans of heavy metal, not only for this band, but for all time. We have from 1971, the Master of Reality masterpiece known as Children of the Grave, taking on 1970s original heavy metal devil-loving love song in N.I.B. This will declare an uncontested victor in 2021's Heavy Metal March Madness Tournament. But first, here's some messages from our sponsors.
Next Generation Wrestling brings some of the most talked about and star-studded professional wrestlers from around the world. Based out of East Tennessee, NGW is becoming one of the most sought-after independent wrestling promotions in the past 4 years. Witness NGW Live or on demand on the High Spots Wrestling Network streaming app. Follow us on social media platforms at NextGenTN.
This is it, Rant Army. The moment we have all been waiting for. Children of the Grave versus NIB to decide which Black Sabbath song reigns supreme and win 2021's Heavy Metal March Madness. This is our final round, and only two songs stand tall. Two songs that define a band, but only one can progress and become the champion. Scott, you have the unfortunate task of being first up. Children of the Grave from 1971's Master of Reality going up against the heavy hitter from the debut album by Black Sabbath, NIB, in 3, 2, 1, go.
Master of Reality was my very first Sabbath album. I love it. I love every song on it. But NIB is my favorite Sabbath song of all time. And I knew if it came down to this one, that's why I didn't want to put it in the damn list. I'm very biased toward it. It's everything I love about Sabbath in one song. And like Brandon put earlier, like if you take away one single article from it, it doesn't change the song. That song is amazing. Every single bit of it is. So, NIB, hands down for me.
Alright, I heard to say. I'm gonna go up next. In 3, 2, 1. Either one of these songs would be fitting victors. I'm not gonna take anything away from either one of them, and I could easily in vain argue the flaws of either song, but let's just be honest, neither one of these songs have a flaw. If you want to be fucking as far out and flippant and fucking useless about your argument as possible, you could argue that the album version of Children of the Grave has that really long outro, but that would be fucking pointless. Song versus song, these are both absolute heavy hitters and worthy of the crown that is Heavy Metal March Madness. But in my heart, there can only be one, just like Connor McLeod when he knocks the head off of the Kurgan in the movie Highlander. Sword to sword, head to head, NIB decapitates Children of the Grave and stands as the greatest Black Sabbath song, and gun to my head, probably in my top five favorite songs of all time, musical genre aside. So that's all I have to say. Fat Tony, I'm putting 2 minutes up on the clock. Not that it's going to be necessary, but 3, 2, 1, go.
It's appropriate that I get the final word because I'll go ahead and cut through it. NIB is my choice. Children of the Grave, fucking masterpiece. NIB, like if I have to take Solitude out, it is my favorite song of all time for personal reasons. You discount that song. NIB is my favorite song of all time. There's no top five. There's no qualifiers except for the Solitude one. NIB is everything good about Sabbath. As Scott said, like Children of the Grave. I mean, it fucking, in my head, it invented the chunky heavy metal that I grew to love. Nativity in Blacks, it's just got, it's smooth, it's awesome, the bass line's amazing, the lyrical masterpiece that it is. It was the hill I was going to die on when I came into this, knowing that there, me and Brandon did this a decade ago, way drunker, and came to the almost same conclusion. I'm pretty sure we are also, last two songs we debated was Children of the Grave and NIB. And there can really only be those two. And as he said, there can only be fucking one. And it is NIB.
Q Princes of the Universe.
I didn't make this in my judgment. It's pointless now because our winner is NIB, uncontested. But just a point to put a pin in this discussion. I seem to remember there being not one, but two tribute albums called Nativity in Black. Oh, yeah. And with good reason. NIB is everything you could want out of a Black Sabbath song. Closing things up, you guys got any takeaways from all this? Are there any songs that you thought were going to make it further in the tournament that didn't?
No, this is exactly, as I said, I came in knowing that it's going to be these two going head-to-head, and it hurts.
I personally really thought that War Pigs was going to make it a little further, and I thought, actually, if it wouldn't be War Pigs, I thought that somebody would say Iron Man, and I should have known that us, being jaded as we are, and Iron Man, one of the first Black Sabbath songs I ever learned how to play, one of my all-time favorite songs of my childhood, if nothing else, and it's still one that if I hear on the radio that I'm like, oh man, crank that shit up.
It's the Guitar Center riff, though. It's one of those that's just, I'm surprised nobody went with that one. And honestly, I thought, like, for half a second, I was like, Black Sabbath and NIB are two different albums, surely.
right? So I'll have that argument. And then I got here and I saw it in front of me. I was like, oh, God, no.
If any song deserved, and fucking Children of the Grave is a fucking heavy hitter, but the song Black Sabbath changed music. And if for no other reason, it deserves a fucking asterisk as being kind of, you know, like an honorary mention in all of this.
There's a lot of these songs that I could have... We could have chosen a second song, and we could argue for the second places.
Debating Black Sabbath songs is like having the unstoppable force meeting the immovable object. Who the fuck knows how that would end?
Hogan body slams Andre.
Ah, damn it.
Well, who's Hogan in this equation?
He's
who's Andre?
Force and Andre. I don't know, man! I'm talking about songs.
You're debating so many things. But NIB, at the end of the day, that's the song I even said, told Brandon, I'm like, if the song I know is the best song, isn't it? I'm stabbing you both in the neck with a pencil.
He had a pencil. Shout out to Scott's cousin, who you told me like that she did her own bracket.
She did. I said
and this is the same conclusion that she came to. And when I'm pretty sure it was. And when she chose that, I'm like, well, I mean, that's pretty much how I think this is going to go, because it's the decision that you and I came to before. But adding a third person in the mix, I was kind of interested to see, like, where is this going to go? But if it had been anything other than Black Sabbath, I'd be...
It totally was.
Anything other than NIB, I'd be flipping the table right now.
Me too, I'd have stabbed you both in the neck with this pencil. This needs to be Zakk Wylde, Zakk Sabbath playlist, this entire bracket.
Oh, well, let's tweet him that.
We fucking will.
I'll tweet at him.
Yeah.
The whole thing. Like, hey, we did this. Let's do it.
And by the way, Zakk, I apologize for wanting to hit you. It was just uncontrollably because
you're magnetic personality.
Have you never heard the story of when Alice Cooper met Elvis? And Elvis handed him a gun, and for half a second on Alice's shoulder, it said, shoot him. And then the angel came on and said, you can't do it. It's Elvis. And then he came again and went, wound him. Yeah. I love that story. It's one of those things,
I've never
heard
that story, but that's great.
Listen, even if NIB hadn't won, there's so many songs on this list that would have been fitting. And I want to know from you out there in the rant army, feel free to comment. Let me know what your favorite Black Sabbath song is. And as long as it isn't Swing the Chain, I'll be willing to hear your arguments.
Good deal.
Oh, our closing technical info, and then we'll close this up for another month. I think it's going to wrap us up. We'll be back in April with our regular format with an in-depth movie retrospective. The Rants from the Black Lodge podcast can be found on a multitude of platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Pandora, Google Podcasts. So please go give us a sub if you haven't already. You can find us on social media at Rants Black Lodge. Does that intervene, Tony?
I told Brandon I was doing this. I know this is a different format than y'all are used to, a different thing, but Ozzy Osbourne starred in Little Nicky with Adam Sandler, who is in I Now Pronounce You Chuck and Larry with Dan Aykroyd, who is in Ghostbusters. You just got busted. I had to do it once.
Thank you, Tony, for doing something that I failed to do. Not that it was applicable entirely for this, but I give you... I give you kudos for knocking it out of the park with our loyal fan base.
But he pointed out that motherfucker was in the 2016 Ghostbusters. Now, didn't even think of that.
Please feel to check us out on our homepage at JuicyKruger.com. And for the love of Cthulhu, please buy a t-shirt or a mug from our web store at rantarmy.com. For Fat Tony and Fat Fuck Scott, this is Brandon A. Lane signing off. Till next month, Rant Army, keep marching.